This episode of The Wiggle Room Through Time is sponsored by BetOnline. There's no shortage of action going on with our exclusive partners, BetOnline.ag. And sports are slowly making their way back with the UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and soccer leading the way. BetOnline has all the best odds and lines for the upcoming games and matches. And make sure to stay tuned to this podcast as sports analyst and host of Good Sports, Dave Damashek, discusses the welcome return of sports with BetOnline's Dave Mason. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening every day live for you to check out. And if you're looking for something else other than sports, BetOnline also has hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device and join now to receive your new welcome bonus and start playing today. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit BetOnline.ag and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Josh.
Through time. Through time. Through time. Through time. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Thank you to the great David Kahn for updating the opening to The Wiggle Through Time. I'm Rob Cicerino, back with the man who travels through time week after week to different points in Survivor's history via a slap bracelet, the great Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm thankful for this new theme song that reminded me I need to have my slap bracelet on standby in order to safely travel through time as we're about to do here on this podcast. I almost forgot to bring it. So
Never forget to bring it.
No. That would be like going to a Survivor spa and not trying all of the different sauces. I know this is a different episode, but if we're Carter adjacent...
Did you watch
adjacent,
Beyond this episode?
No, okay. I didn't. I just have a memory. I don't have it in me. No, I'm the trip through time is about all I can do, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But no, look, Survivor Philippines! Look at that.
Yeah, this was fun. It was a fun episode to rewatch, and looking forward to talking about that. Josh Wiggler is coming in hot, coming off of this weekend Pizza Party Podcast Volume 1.
Yeah, Volume 1 of the Pizza Party Podcast. I just tacked Volume 1 on there with the assumption that perhaps we'll do Volume 2. Volumes 2.
Awesome mixtape.
You know, you just don't know. So we did a pizza party. It was myself, Haley Strong, and Kurt Clark. Kurt and I both ate an obscene amount of pizza in preparation for the podcast. Haley very wisely only ate the one. It was really fun. It was great.
I could tell you that I hope you're proud of me, but I listened to over a half hour of the pizza party podcast on Saturday night.
Did you get to the part where I said Rob doesn't like food? Because I'm pretty sure that happened.
I didn't hear my name mentioned.
I think that does happen at one point.
I listened to over a half hour.
It was fun. It was really fun to do. Great times. This weekend was busy podcasting. There was that on the Beyond Top Chef podcast, and also we recorded the next episode of Everything Is Super, the post-show recaps podcast that currently is all about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mike Bloom, as he is wont to do, joined Kevin Mahadeo and I to run a Brant Steele simulation about the Avengers at Civil War. The Avengers at Civil War compete in a game of Survivor with myself and Kevin Mahadeo included as contestants on the season to bring us up to an even 16, running a Survivor token chain simulation.
Yeah.
That podcast should be dropping, I believe, Tuesday morning. It's 3 hours of insanity. One of the, like, if that was an actual Survivor season, there are some things that happen on it that would be almost unprecedented.
Still talked about.
If not for international Survivor precedent in the case of one really crazy thing. And even then, like, this was very targeted. Some wild shit goes down in Survivor Avengers at Civil War. So you can look forward to that on Posha Recaps this week.
Okay. All right, Josh, we're coming off the Kagyan merge last week. I want to apologize if we opened the show too harshly last week, where There was a lot of confusion about which episode we were talking about. We seemed annoyed that people were asking questions, so I don't want the listeners to think they're not allowed to ask questions.
Sure.
It seemed like we hurt some people's feelings.
And I didn't mean to hurt anyone's feelings. No feelings were intended to be hurt. No feelings were intended to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sometimes you get like the same question a lot, and it's just like after a certain point, it's just like, okay.
Well, sure.
This
sure.
is what it is. There, no confusion this week. Mm-hmm. Season 25.
Yeah.
Episode 8.
That's right.
Survivor of the Philippines. Isn't it weird that there was no one on this season that was cast named Philip Eanes?
That is weird now that you mention it, because there is somebody with the name of the location in every other season of Survivor.
Yeah, so it's strange that for Philippines, they didn't cast a Philip Eanes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That, who can forget so many of our favorite survivors like Sam Owa?
Yeah, Sam Owa is a great
Nick
is a Aradla. Great survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's a classic one. Vanuatu was one that I thought of.
Amy Zahn, Ethan's sister, played with me.
Yeah,
so many iconic players.
Yeah, Al Lestars.
Yeah,
how could you forget
Al? So many.
Al Lestars was a Paul Au. Paul Au, iconic survivor. Yeah. As Chuck Smith in the chat notes, Kara Moen.
Mm-hmm.
We stan Kara Moen, Queen Kara Moen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just weird that they didn't have Philippines on this season.
Yeah. And of course, our good friend Millie Enel of Visigenics.
I love Millie. I think this is the first time we've shouted her out on the podcast. So.
Shout out to Millie. Yeah. All right, Josh, are you ready to slap on your bracelet and head on back to November the 7th of 2012 for Dead Man Walking?
Yes, I am. I'm really happy to do this. I believe this is right around getting pretty close to the start of my working relationship with you and RHAP, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had already we worked together in Survivor One World. What happened? And then I feel like, did we talk for the premiere and then nothing?
We were gonna do coverage of Philippines for MTV, and then in the 11th hour, literally the night before the premiere, MTV editorial told me like, hey, yeah, we're not gonna do that. We're just gonna cover our own reality shows. We're not gonna talk about Survivor anymore. It's like, but I've got Exit Press lined up. I've got Rob Sesternino again. And so it was like with less than 24 hour notice. So I was really, really annoyed. So we tried to like shift our coverage of Philippines together to a different outlet. It didn't take. The numbers were bad. And then I believe you were the one who said like, hey, look, if you want to just keep talking about Survivor, just come to RHAP. I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And here we are all these years later.
Here we are. Okay. Yeah. 8 years later.
Yeah.
Let's go on back. Josh, you set your time bracelet to November 7th, 2012. Tap. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Ready?
Okay.
Yep. Count you in. Three, two, one.
I don't know if you heard the slap. It's kind of a dull slap this week.
Okay, we're slapped in.
All right, we're slapped in, and we're going to talk about Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man?
Yeah, Dead Man Walking.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on here in the Survivor Philippines. We're down to the final 10. And in the previous episode, a little bit of a shakeup as Jonathan Penner played an idol at the previous tribal council, which ultimately sent R.C. St. Moore, this survivor, out of the game.
Yeah. RC is done. And I believe that much like the aforementioned, I don't know why I thought that we already talked about Nick Majorano. Oh, that's because he texted me and I forgot to text him back. Hold on, let me text him real quick. She also only made it to one tribal council and then didn't make it past that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nick and RC have in common.
Yeah.
And I'm just remembering that I have to text you back. I am doing this currently as I am live recording this week's Wiggle Room. Hope
what
you
up,
are
Nick?
Well. What up, Nick? quote Rob Cesternino. Okay. All right. We can
to be confused with our other friend Nick Aragua.
Exactly. That's why I was confused. Okay. Yeah. Yes. That's right. That's yes. right.
Okay. All right.
And that's like R is the middle initial and last name Aragua.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We call him Nick Water.
Yeah. That's our buddy, Nicky Watts. Yeah.
So
it's a tall drink.
Penner was the person who would have been targeted at that tribal council. This is a
and
fun.
He's really mad because it's all like his Calabar buddies.
Yeah.
They turned on him. They like, they're like worshiping at the Tandang altar.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
No one likes that.
Yes. He would have liked to have known the plan, Penner, but they didn't tell him.
Yeah, and then Jeff Kent, who's been, if we don't remember Philippines super well, Jeff Kent's been on a real anti-Penner agenda all season long at this point, and he thought he had his shot, and then Penner survived it, and Jeff Kent's like, ah, man, really tried to go after Penner, and it didn't work out. And there's this very awkward conversation where Penner, for like the first time in a while, really senses like, oh, yeah, okay, so I don't think Jeff Kent's really digging what I'm all about.
By the way, this episode is a great Jonathan Penner showcase. That any Jonathan Penner episode is usually a great Jonathan Penner showcase, but yeah. This is one of the best.
Yes, absolutely. It's a shame we couldn't get him back on the podcast this week to make fun of the inevitable Nick and Aaron wand off that will be very self-referential about their relationship to Jonathan
Penner. All
right,
we'll
see. Just a prediction. We'll see. Just a prediction. It's a prediction. Obviously, I don't know any Wandoff spoilers, so that could bear no fruit, or it could bear the exact fruit that I'm expecting it to
we'll
bear.
We'll see. You might be surprised.
Okay. Might be, or will be. Let's find out. Keep the suspense up.
Okay, so Jonathan Penner is trying to find out who voted for whom.
Yeah. And like Denise is like, yeah, so I just want to be honest. I did vote for you. He's like, I knew it. I knew you did it, Denise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Penner, he has no allies that he's
Jeff
ready
Kent's like,
to
what
do.
What do you want? You don't want to be on a sinking ship? And Penner's like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Got it. You're absolutely correct. It's just great the way that like he talks. It was just so fun to have Penner on the podcast during season 40 and to apply some of like what he was talking about there to what we're seeing from Penner here, where he's like, I'm not very good at some of this stuff. And like literally what he's doing here right now is like, yeah, it makes sense why you voted for me. I get that. Mm-hmm. It's good.
He's a straight shooter.
He really is. All these people who come after Penner thinking he's a snake, he's not. Yeah. He gets it.
He does do a snake puzzle in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He doesn't like any tyrannical bullies. He's really out on the tyrannical bullies.
So that will come later.
Yeah.
He talks about the competitors in this game. He says that they're all ready to die.
Yeah, as far as he's concerned.
As far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
you're dead to me.
You vote for me, you're dead to me. Mm-hmm. And then it's very strange because there's this moment where Penner is standing at the edge of the beach and it's nighttime, and he's clearly standing next to somebody, but it's this figure that is completely blurred out as if he's been edited out of the season and is like speaking with like a modified voice, who's seeming to like claim that he's a fellow returning player this season as well. It's like, we just got to bide our time. We got to look for the cracks. But it's wild that there's just like sort of like this invisible man on the season who you can't identify by any normal, defining characteristics.
Mm-hmm. So, are you sure everybody's going to get what you're talking about?
No, I'm not. Mike Scoopin's on the season. I don't know how you talk about that.
Second time within Wiggle Through Time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough.
And he looks like, as a man who has already once fallen into the fire that in his Survivor career, he has the appearance of falling into the sun in this season. Flesh is like just literally peeling off of his body.
You had a very evocative description of him before we went on the air when we were talking about it through.
I said that he looks like from the Stand miniseries, which was formative in my youth, which was great reference to have of what could happen when a virus gets out of control. That he played a character called the Trash Can Man, and Stand spoiler alert, that he gets exposed to
nuclear radiation,
yeah,
right?
Some bad juju and is not looking too well at a certain point in the miniseries.
Yeah.
And that's bears what a
Mike Scoopin
resemblance.
Looks like. Yeah, it looks like he looks like Trashy. The trash can man.
Yeah.
My life for you.
Which also the nickname works for Mike Scoopin also. True trash can man.
Listen, he's not too late, Larry. Larry Underwood is a hero. We're not ascribing any Larry Underwood to the trash can man.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in full trash can mode here. He's got like the burned arms and he's telling Penner, like, I think the best move right now is no move.
Yeah.
Just chill out. Just wait for something to happen. There's cracks.
So, Josh, this episode is also a really good showcase for Lisa Welchel also. She is sort of the fulcrum vote through a lot of this episode.
Yeah. She's at the hub of things
Of things, like Cassandra.
Yeah. Great narrator. Narrator, Lisa Welchel. It's almost like she's been on television before.
Yeah, this might be her best episode.
Well, how quickly you forget, brother, sister. That's probably the best.
Yeah.
That's the best.
I thought this was interesting that she's in the boat fishing with Penner. And so this is the second time we've seen Penner on a Wiggle Through Time. And in the last time we saw Penner, it was Penner who was in the boat watching Ozzy spearfish and just come back with like fish after fish, and Penner was just now this time it's Penner in the water.
He
doing
knows what to do.
Spearfishing, and
he studied at Ozzy's knee.
Yeah, but it's not going great because can't find anything.
Yeah, he's trying though. You know, he's trying to do what he can.
How many minutes can you hold your breath?
Yeah, right.
I knew a guy who could hold his breath for 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's because he was constantly getting faded in practice.
Yeah. So we see Jeff Kent talking with Lisa, and Jeff Kent wants to do a plan to vote with Lisa, Malcolm and Denise, and Carter. And they'd vote out the returning players, and then they'd vote out the three that nobody likes, which are Artis, Pete, and Abby. That's the Jeff Kent plan.
They're the evil ones, as Malcolm describes them later in the episode. Mm-hmm. Malcolm, who is really looking Jimmy T-esque in this episode, I think, with like the big, like sort of like lion's mane. There's just something about Malcolm in this episode. Perhaps it's because we're traveling through time, and that's very top of mind. That reminds me so much of one Jimmy Tarantino, his future self.
And in going back and watching this, that Philippines is, I know it had not been really coined in the Survivor vernacular, but this is really a voting block season, you know, where you have Malcolm and Denise, you had Pete, Artis, Abby, that was a voting block. Lisa and Scoopin was a block, and then Kent and Carter, like, are kind of like a tandem, tandang.
Yeah, and then Penner kind of scoops
them up. And then Penner, is the free electron.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is often heralded as one of the really great Survivor seasons, right?
Really good.
Of the modern-ish era, where things will happen, not just in this season, but this very episode, where Jeff himself is be like, I can't remember a time that Survivor was so alive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's coming off of, you know, a few seasons in a row that people either outright didn't like, or in the grand scheme of things, felt like it was maybe like a Survivor's in a little bit of a rut. I would love to know like some of the points of comparison for some of these seasons in the 30s versus those seasons in the early 20s, how that would shake out.
This is just such a fun era. You know, we watched Kagiyan last week, and then to go from 28 to 25, that this is just a really fun era where the game is moving. There's a lot going on, but not too much that it's you can't understand the thing. There's not a million objects. Also, like, I feel like that Survivor really had was in like a great groove here in the late 20s.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's Karamoan. You kind of like, you know, not to. I know that we said before we love Queen Kara, but the season is a little divisive, but from there you get Blood versus Water and Kageyan. So those three seasons, especially in San Juan del Sur, are among my favorites of recent-ish Survivor. So this was fun to go back to, even if there are aspects of it that are a little dicey.
Yeah. Okay. So we have our reward challenge. Nothing too important happens during the reward challenge, but
they're playing for a river cruise barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Playing for barbecue, playing for ribs.
Yeah.
It's like ribs and cornbread, and it looked like maybe like a plate of spaghetti or something.
Yeah. No lamb shanks and hot cider.
No, I guess it's a little more conventional, but I would prefer the lamb shanks and the cider, personally.
Yeah. So we see the team that wins the reward. This is the important part. We get on the reward. It's Penner, Denise, Lisa, Jeff Kent, and Malcolm, where a lot of the more dramatic people, Abby, Pete, Artis, Scoopin, although they cite Scoopin as like, oh, poor Mike. Oh, he's such a, he has to be there with them.
He's been giving his body away to Randall Flagg.
Right. So that we have a nice reward with the people that sort of like are sort of like pitching themselves. And usually this doesn't play great on a reality show, but we are the good, no drama people.
Yeah, Penner has some like dramatic descriptions of some of the people over in the Pete and Abby and artist crew. Is like, we don't cotton to totalitarian bullies.
Okay, here's what Penner says.
Can't live in a camp with tyrannical bullies. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, tyrannical.
Everybody
bullies.
Knows yeah. tyrannical yeah. Bullies.
Not cool.
That is just, it's just not cool.
It's not good. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
It's just not cool.
It's not cool. It's not cool. This is, Penner loves going on a boat and talking about things that are about kids who are acting uncool. Right? Like, that was Cook Island's one as well, where he's
these
like,
guys,
these kids are getting
on the
faded.
Boat. They get faded.
It's not cool.
Those kids from Tandang, they're just not cool. I also love he says, like, they're despotic. Like, he describes them as despots by saying they're despotic, as if that's going to land with this crowd just kills me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't think that is like, that lands widely for a lot of people, but I cracked up.
Yeah,
watching that earlier.
Can I point out something that annoyed me in going?
Despotic.
So that group of five, they win the reward, and then like Jeff is like, "All right, you're gonna go off to the reward. You're gonna go have ribs. Enjoy the day, everybody.
Afternoon picnic, cruise through the jungle.
Sounds like a taste of home for me. A little barbecue, some cornbread. Feel like I'm home for a little bit."
Yeah, who asked you, Lisa? Like, nobody needed you to editorialize the reward.
Jeff's like, stepping on my bites!
Right. Like, Jeff's like, all right, go enjoy your reward. Actually, Jeff, this reward will really
reward
hit the spot
like,
for me.
Lisa, you're going to be on the show!
Yeah, save it for your confessional.
Yeah,
why do you have to tell the group this information?
That's not, you're breaking the fourth wall. This reminds her of home. Lots of jungle cruises.
Yeah.
Very lucky life. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. How'd they steer that thing that they were on? It seemed like it was like a barge just like floating down the river.
Yeah, man. I don't know. You're going to have to turn to somebody else in the podcast roster for...
You don't have a lot of barge information?
My barge intel is wanting, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Okay. The only barge you know about belonged to Jabba the Hutt?
Yeah. Now, yeah, that one I could tell you how they ran that.
Yeah. What did Jabba normally do on those barges? Like have parties out in the desert?
Partying all the time, yeah.
What does a giant slug need to do partying out in the desert?
He's a horny giant slug, too, so like there's probably a lot of that's going on. He's throwing the dancers down and feeding people to the Rancor. He and Salacious Crumb just yucking it up.
Yeah. He has a rancor Why does he need to go to the, like he has a backup execution place in case the Rancor dies, the Sarlacc pit, and has the barge ready to go?
The Sarlacc is like, the Rancor is not a good fate. You don't want to meet the Rancor. He's going to rip you up. But I believe what's worse about the Sarlacc is you're going to be like digested slowly over a long period of time.
Well, guess what? So, the human lifespan is only, 100 years or so? So
are you trying to tell me that you're going to be able to handle 100 years of digestion in the Sarlacc? They're like, no big deal. It's a Sarlacc or a Rancor. It's really not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go. Listen, you don't want either of them. But if a lightsaber to your head, you got to choose the Rancor over the Sarlacc.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Sarlacc, you have a chance of if you've got Boba Fett's jetpack of blasting out of there. But you probably don't have Boba Fett's jetpack. You're probably just getting eaten alive by the Sarlacc, and then you're being digested slowly.
You die of starvation within 2 weeks, easy.
You're talking about 2 weeks versus a minute of being ripped apart by a Rancor. Both of those things are terrible, but one of them is so much worse.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Either way, Jabba the Hutt is a tyrannical bully. He's acting despotic. that's why he's sicking people on the Sarlacc. This is really off the rails.
Sorry. Okay.
This is really wild. What's happening?
On the reward, they're pitching, hey, this is the five. This is the five. We should get together.
Imagine that alternate universe, too. This is such a great season, but if this was the final five, this is a high-quality final five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jeff Kent, Lisa, Malcolm, Denise, Penner, probably Carter also.
He would be part of the six.
He'd be part of it. And then basically, it's really Artis and Abby and Pete are sort of the people that are and then Scoopin sort of by proxy.
That's the issue here, right? Is that they're not really including Scoopin in the plan so much, and Scoopin's Lisa's guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, at least as of the time of this season.
Lisa says, these five are nice, but I really want to win. I want to win the game.
Yeah. This is like the Lisa story, right? Of she has this tug of war. Angel on one shoulder, devil on the other shoulder. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, she doesn't have Mike Scoopin's shoulders, so that having those two entities on her shoulders, just the skin contact would probably be rather painful.
Meanwhile, while the reward group is enjoying the reward, there is some talk back at camp between Pete and Abby about what the Tandang plan is going to be. Now, the thing you have to remember here, this is a very interesting 5-5. There are still five Tandang members. Tandang came into the merge completely intact, plus Malcolm, who had swapped to them. So there were seven, I think, total Tandang who came into the merge. They just lost RC, and Malcolm is sort of going his own way. But there are still five original Tandang members together in this final 10. And Pete and Abby are talking about their plan to... Why don't we, instead of voting out Scoopin at the merge, which they had already been thinking about, what if we keep Scoopin as a number? Let's go after Penner.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking about doing. And at least Pete's trying to pitch this. And this, Abby is there's a lot of crossed signals in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Pete and Abby have a little bit of a fight.
Okay. So back at camp, we're seeing a little bit of talk about what should Tandang do, and we see Lisa and Scoopin having a conversation about where should Tandang put their votes. I mean, this is really one. This is actually similar to last week's episode, where the one side has the numbers, but they can't get on the same page about where to put the vote.
Right. Yeah. It would be great if this was easier, right? Because if you could just get everybody to agree to the same thing, you've got the optimal situation. But strong personality is going to fight. They're going to clash.
Yeah. Well, we saw on the boat that Penner was sort of trying to pitch an alliance of comfort that didn't really stick. Here, Tandang is an alliance of numbers, but they're having a hard time getting it to stick because they can't decide who they want to go for. And Lisa has her eyes set on Malcolm. That's going to be the person that she's going to want to get rid of later on in the episode. There's talk about...
Well, she knows he's a threat. He's smart. Everyone likes him, and she knows he has the idol because she went through his stuff the week before.
Yes. Yeah. But still, at this point, they're talking about Penner being the plan of the five people who want to vote out Penner. And so Lisa and Scoopin are talking as Penner crashes the conversation, and she says, or he's like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, hey, we're just talking about you, and it's hot.
Yeah, very hot.
It's getting very hot.
Destiny is like, knock, knock, I'm here. And he walks in the conversation. Cool. Yeah, it's just not cool. He figures that, like, so his plan isn't really sticking. Hard to get a plan to stick when you've eaten food that sticks to your ribs. Mm-hmm. And it's just not taking. It's like, well, I guess my only shot is to win immunity.
Yeah.
And so, like a boss, he's just going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Well, here's this clip this is Penner talking to Scoopin at first.
Well, maybe he'll win immunity. Well, no, you won't. Dude, because I'm winning immunity.
Oh, but you're not going to because I've got this.
Yeah, maybe you win. But yeah. Oh wait, I will.
Yeah, well, that's like how Jabba thinks that he's got Luke cornered. But little does Jabba know that Luke has his lightsaber snuck in through R2-D2. And he's just going to be able to get his way out of the Sarlacc pit.
He's like surrender or die.
Very funny, very funny.
or maybe I'll be the one to kill you.
Yeah,
or maybe
yeah.
my sister.
Yeah, so there yeah. he goes.
Okay, so we go to the immunity challenge, and at the immunity challenge, that we have a physical component followed by doing a puzzle. I feel like this is very uncommon. I feel like we'd never see a challenge like this at the present state of Survivor.
With a physical portion at the start and then building towards some kind of puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels rare.
Yeah, like we have some sort of a heat that eliminates a bunch of people and then have just three people competing at the end of the challenge.
Oh, I thought the joke was that Survivor doesn't do physical challenge resulting in a puzzle in the end because they do that all the time.
Not so much at this point in the game. I mean, you would never see this at the final 10. That every challenge on Survivor now, final 10, like, all right, you guys are going to stand here and hold this thing for as long as you can.
Yeah.
When your thing drops, you're out.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of when your thing drops, you're out challenges. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this was, I think, a very unusual challenge for the final 10.
Well, Penner takes it, and he throws his hat in the air.
Yeah.
He talks about and the sky was going to keep his hat if he hadn't asked for his hat back.
I'd like my hat back, please.
He's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. So the puzzle was a giant snake. Penner has to put it together. He had been talking up before about how he's never won individual immunity in his seasons, and he had not had that many opportunities for individual immunity in his seasons, maybe three or four cracks at it.
Yeah,
in
but
Cook
he's
Island.
Up against Ozzy. That's and then if Ozzy's not going to take it, like Yule is also a specimen, so it's going to be hard for him to take any of that stuff.
He didn't make the merge in Survivor Fans versus Favorites, and then had not won immunity. So this is probably only like his fifth or sixth immunity challenge.
Yeah, so not bad.
Yeah, so good
he takes
for Penner.
He needed it because he probably would have gotten voted out here.
Yeah. He has a great reaction to winning the challenge. He does like sort of like an airplane.
Uh-huh.
And then he kisses the puzzle.
Yeah.
Great job.
Very good. Very good.
He nailed it. He called his shot and he won. And that's what he needed.
Yeah. I love seeing good things happen with Jonathan Penner on Survivor.
Yeah.
This is a happy moment. And that was really fun to watch today.
So the episode does a really good job of laying out everything that's going on in terms of like, okay, this was plan A. That's what was happening. Okay, then there was this other proposal. It didn't take. Tandang still wants to vote out Penner. Jeff Kent is on board with that. So now, okay, Penner's off the table. What
are we going to do
now?
Yeah, and this becomes the big topic as there's some like competing things where Lisa basically is like, this is the time to reveal the fact that I know about Malcolm's idol. She's going to go to Mikowski Pete.
Yes. Just to reset the Lisa thing. So at the merge, Lisa had taken everybody's wet clothes out and hung them up. Something that Reem Daly would be voted out first for in some 13 seasons from now. And so I'm just doing the math. Yes, that's correct. And then Lisa found the idol. She knew about it. She told Malcolm she wouldn't say anything. But now she's realizing Malcolm is the biggest threat out here.
Yeah. And so she thinks, like, this is the move. Let me talk to my crew. I'm going to stay tan dang strong. Because her instinct's not bad. Yeah. It's like, these are probably the beatable people in the game. So if I could move forward with the beatable people, that would probably be the right choice.
I thought that this was interesting. I started thinking about Malk here, of that Lisa identifies
the
Malcolm.
Only person on the planet who can get away with calling Malcolm Freeberg Malk. It's just you. You're the only one. No one else can do it.
But I started thinking about him, Josh, and really, this his entire story on Survivor is really that Lisa is really the one person to express it here. She's going to try to really blow him up at this tribal council of Malcolm is the threat. Can't you see? If we don't stop him, he's going to win the whole thing. That's basically the story of that. And this season in the Philippines, he comes the closest that he'll come to winning the game, because it's really only Lisa that really seems to key in on this in here in Survivor Philippines, where by the time we get to Survivor Karamoan, almost everybody's going to get on board with that. And then in Survivor Game Changers, it's certainly everybody takes the opportunity to vote out Malcolm at the first opportunity that they have to be able to do so. And so Malcolm's entire story is the story of Malcolm the threat.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. But Lisa, I think, is the first person to really crystallize it. And the only person here in the Philippines that's operating under the, like, don't you see? He's going to win.
Well, look, he's version 1.0 Malcolm here. If you, because Jimmy T is 4.0, I would assume, we even though that occurred first. And I think with Malcolm here, he is playing on a season where, like, Carter's a young buck, Pete's a young buck. Maybe these three guys all view themselves as having the chops to really advance further in the game. But I think one of these players, at least on this season, I'd be really interested to see Pete play a second time. But one of the people on this season has a read of people that is has a read on people and an ability to lie to people and a boldness about the way that they're going to play that's just far superior to the other two. Mm-hmm. I think Pete comes close. Carter, as Penner has outlined, Carter was basically like, I don't want to do anything that's going to make anyone mad at me on TV, so I'm just going to do nothing. So you can kind of rule him out. So I think on this season, there's just like people who would sense that. Like, I think Malcolm comes back in the following season with no one having seen the way that he plays, but the fact that he's been invited back and the precedent for that really is like Hans. It's like, okay, so this guy's probably a gamer and he's like a young hotshot. So like, this is probably a very dangerous person. You believe that hype. There's no tape to study. There's no reputation here. Even if there's no tape to study for season 26, there's reputation on the table that, like, of 10 all-star spots, Malcolm, whose season hasn't even aired yet, has already secured a spot.
Okay. So Lisa tells Pete, Malcolm has the idol. Believe me, we have to vote out Malcolm. And Pete does not believe that this could be possible. Malcolm's my friend. If he had the idol, he would tell me. So what does he do? He calls over Malcolm and says, hey, just so you know, I'm hearing that you have the Metzing idol. Is that true? And Malcolm will deny it.
He's like, no, it's not true. And Pete will go, oh, all right. Well, it's weird that Lisa's lying to me, but clearly she is.
Yeah. And Pete gives us a confessional. And he says that he is able to, like, look into Malcolm's soul. And he knows that that Malcolm's telling the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's freaking out. That obviously, if he's freaking out about getting accused of having the idol, he definitely doesn't have it.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't mean like, oh shit, they know I've got the idol.
Yeah.
This is not the idol you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And Pete's mind is effectively washed of that notion.
Yeah. And now Malcolm has to scramble. And Pete is going to go back and have a conversation with Lisa. Lisa gives a great confessional. And the kudos to the editors of this episode, where Lisa's confessional begins with an extended audible sigh, where it's like,
wow.
Well, it seems like Pete told Malcolm about the idol.
Yeah, didn't go great.
Yeah.
didn't go great.
Mm-hmm.
Went to verify the story. Pete's walking away from the verification process feeling. He's let the hacker in. Mm-hmm. He's let the hacker into the Gmail account.
Yeah.
They had two-factor authentication on, and Malcolm was able to bypass it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now it's scrambling time, and Malcolm is really on his heels of, we need to figure out a new plan, okay? We have the five Tandang people, five people not in Tandang. What's going to happen? And a mad scramble is taking place before our eyes, Josh.
Yeah, because there's a lot of conflicting agendas here. And like now that the heat of the idol has been thrown in, it's just everybody's like scrambled eggs brains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jeff Kent is one name that's being thrown around.
Yeah. Even though Jeff Kent, you know, I think that this is kind of surprising to Jeff Kent. I thought he's like, he's got all these like anti-all-star deals on mm-hmm. the table, you know? And so for this to be coming, to be boomeranging back to Jeff Kent so quickly is a shock.
Yeah. And it does seem as though the, Malcolm and Pete relationship sort of saves the, Malcolm and Denise voting block. So now it's sort of like the attention from Tandang is sort of on the original Calibre, which is really at this point Jeff Kent and Carter.
Right. Jeff Kent, great baseball player, great Survivor character, but maybe not with enough foresight to realize that he'd cornered himself into a tough situation.
Yeah. But then there is some talk about that Jeff Kent is sort of like walking up behind people. And there's a lot of that in this season. And we mentioned mm-hmm. in this scene where Penner walks up on the conversation with Scoopin and Lisa. And Jeff Kent kind of walks up into a conversation. And that Carter says he's hearing Jeff Kent's name. And so we see then another six coming together where they are trying to put six votes on Pete.
Yeah. So the tension does become, is this going to be Pete or is it going to be Jeff Kent's night to go home? Seems to be what we're honing in on here.
Yeah. And we go to a tribal council where things are definitely in flux. And we get to a very interesting tribal council here, Josh.
This is the prologue to Hold Up Bro, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is the Hold Up Bro before the Hold Up Bro.
Yeah. A very important tribal council in the history of Malk.
Yeah, this is in a big way, like, you know, one of his coming out parties as a player. Like, he's going to bust out the idol. He's like, all right, so yeah, I know the rumors are out there. Let me confirm them, verifying that I do indeed have an idol. And if you throw some votes my way, you could do that. But one of you may get a nasty surprise.
Yes. Because Lisa is throwing him under the bus. Lisa is basically outing Malcolm. He is the biggest threat in the game. And she also outs the fact that he has the idol.
Correct. It's just like, yeah, so I do have it.
Yes.
Now you're in trouble if you vote for me. So don't do it.
In this season, I did like how the idols were part of the camp. But I do feel like that in the way that like Russell Hance is going to put the necklace on at Tribal Council, it's hard to really, Josh, do anything with the giant square. It's like shades of Survivor China of like, I've got this thing.
Yeah, but I kind of like it, actually. I like it because like, I feel like you could play like horseshoe with it or some mm-hmm. like version of Survivor horseshoe with the thing.
I'll
like,
use it.
You could like almost play like a Survivor bocce with it. Just like
play
throw
bocce
the thing.
With the square.
I mean, it's not going to roll, really, but mm-hmm. it's like if you throw it like kind of like a disc, see where it lands,
like
who lands it further. It's like a shot put. Is that what you call them, right?
I mean, I think it's a shot put still round.
Shot put? Yeah. I don't know. I think you can put a shuffleboard with them.
you can
build a board.
I still think the shuffleboard is a disc.
Yeah. You could use it as like a table weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a lot of function to this.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of function to the idol here.
I just think
I don't know. I just like that it's not just like another thing that's got like a dinky rope on it and it's like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's some sort of idol fakery or whatever. It's like, this is the idol. These are the idols this season.
Mm-hmm.
They come from your rice box. Like, I like that. Mm-hmm. I kind of miss this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just know what an idol looks like and just like have that be the thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it takes away the move of like, I'm wearing it. Uh-oh, what does that mean?
I don't know, but I kind of like the way that Malcolm's just like holding it like it's a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's got like the huge ace up his sleeve. Very Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, he's not going to go to the Sarlacc pit out here in this episode.
Yeah, you're not sending me off to the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. Are you saying that maybe that block is just the regular idol frozen in carbonite? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's okay. Great. All right. More idols should be frozen in carbonite. I love them. They know.
Malcolm has an idol. He's not going home. Jeff Probst has the presence to ask, does anybody else want to show us an idol?
Yeah, the presence to ask and like the intel that Abby Maria clearly has an idol. And it's like when Dr. Hibbard asks, I'm not going to solve this mystery. Can you? And stares at the camera and he's clearly staring at Chief Wiggum. Mm-hmm. And so he's just staring straight at Abby Maria. It's been a minute since I've busted that one out, but that used to be one of my favorite comparisons.
Well, Abby is going to take out her idol and everybody is blown away. She's like,
yes, I do have it.
Yeah.
I have this idol.
I think this is really ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any ludicrous wand-offs coming up?
I don't think so.
Not today. Okay, not today.
Not today.
What do we say to the Wanda of
no,
death?
No Luda today for Abby Maria. But Abby Maria has the idol today. She's going to also take it out at Tribal Council.
Yeah, she is. And this is where Probe is like, I've never seen a tribal like this. This is the best.
Yeah. Jeff says that this was such a great tribal council.
Can't think of a more complicated or entertaining tribal council ever in my time of being a tribal.
I mean, you know, 25 seasons in and he's saying that is high praise.
I mean, that can't be right.
No, it can be. And I did think about this. If you're just talking semantics, right? I can't think of a more complicated survivor in my entire career. Of a more complicated tribal council in my entire career of Survivor. I believe him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he can't think of one that was more complicated.
Not even Eric giving the necklace away? Was that not complicated?
It's not coming to mind in the moment because he's so present. He's so focused. So he doesn't remember any other tribal council. So I buy him at his word when he says, I cannot think of another more complicated tribal council than the one that I'm presently at. Mm-hmm. This is, as far as I care, this is the only one that's
singularly focused on this tribal council.
Correct. Yes. Listen, as somebody who I have no idea what I've said on any podcast I've ever done, so I totally believe the phenomenon, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't remember that.
That's interesting. So you feel like there are people who listen to the podcast that they can remember things that you've said and things that you've said, and then when you I can't think of a time of a more complicated or interesting conversation, and they're like. Yeah. Josh, what the hell are you talking about? I could think of 15 other conversations you've had that were more compelling than this one that you think is the greatest.
Wiggler, remember when you walked away from Survivor? What? I never said that.
Yeah.
I never did that. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, like, people know the evolution of strategy so much better than you and I know the evolution of strategy. 1,000,000%. 155,000%. People, there are people out there who remember what you have said and what I have said on podcasts and in audiobooks infinitely better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So I believe Probst here. If he says, like, this is the most complicated tribal council that I can remember. Like, yeah, I fully buy that. Without irony, like, I fully believe that that is the case for him.
So going back to this tribal council, there's some talk about the group of six moving forward. And there's some talk about the group of six against the Tandang four, which I guess would be then because it's basically this three artists and Abby and Pete. And I'm not sure if I guess that Scoopin' is lumped in as the four when people are talking about there's a six. So the six people are saying, like, oh, we could do this. And Penner says, oh, so are you saying that there's a six that we could ultimately get together? And Jeff Kent's like, yeah, we know. You know that there is.
Yeah.
He gets, like,
kind of
mad.
Jeff Kent shouldn't be getting mad right now. Jeff Kent needs to be playing this cool, but he hates that, like, he's gotten himself into this position where, like, his smartest play out is to play a ball with Jonathan Penner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been trying to get him out of the game for a while.
Yes. Jeff Kent has an interesting turn of phrase during this tribal council.
Oh, and my name's been thrown under the hat as much as Pete's, so is Malcolm's.
Yeah.
Jeff, is that something that you do?
Name got thrown under the hat.
Or isn't, like, under the hat, like, everything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're wearing one, you're under it, right? So, like, if you're throwing your name at a body, at any part is under the hat.
I like
presumably.
That, that if we want to say that people are getting thrown under the hat.
That feels, like, harmless,
like,
though.
Like, my hat back, please. Stop throwing my name under it.
Guess it depends on the hat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some hats you do not want to be thrown under.
So, we're going to get to the votes here. And we get to a really wild vote, which is going to ultimately come through. We get a 5-4-1 vote, which ultimately goes against Jeff Kent, with the one vote being Jonathan Penner, where it would have been, we would have been, had a 5-5 split potentially had it not been for Penner voting for Abby.
Yeah, we could have had a tie here, right?
Yes.
What would happen? Would someone break, or would we get rocks here in Survivor of the Philippines?
So, I would think at this point...
And this is a great example, because I am sure we must have talked about this in the Evolution of Strategy.
Yes, yes.
Zero recollection, if that's the case, of what we said.
No recollection off the top of my head, but just to talk it through now, knowing
what
we know.
This is the most complicated conversation we have ever had about this vote that I can remember.
Yes. Okay, so if Penner ends up sticking it out, and then we go to a tie, and then it's a deadlock tie, so now Pete and Jeff won't vote, so we'll have another vote, and so eventually that Penner won't pick a rock, neither will Jeff Kent or Pete, so we'll have seven people picking rocks here. Will Lisa go to a rock here to keep Pete in the game?
For Herkowski, I don't think so. I feel like Carter is going to pull a rock in this situation. He doesn't care. He's not getting rid of Jeff Kent. Malcolm and Denise have survived worse odds here through the whole Matt Singh ordeal, so I think that they may be steady. I feel like both Lisa and Scoopin are mercenary enough at this point that they would flip their votes. At this
point. I think Malcolm and Denise are also flip candidates. Also, of like, they're like, yeah, what do we care? We don't, you know, we don't care if it's Jeff Kent goes home.
Yeah, I think it's just like a matter of the most who makes the most compelling argument here in the anti-rock scenario.
So Penner, who votes for Abby Maria, I believe he ultimately says that he did think people were going to vote for Abby Maria. I don't know if that in this tribal council where he talks about, like, hey, why doesn't the six? Maybe he thought that the six was going to
Wasn't it next episode, though? He's like, I was mad. I was mad at you. Isn't that what he tells her?
Yes. So,
but by doing this, you know, Penner does, you know, cause the chain of events that gets Jeff Kent out of the game, which is beautiful irony.
Him. Yeah.
You know, considering that Jeff Kent had been coming after Penner for so long.
This isn't ultimately what cost Penner in this game. This was fine. And ultimately, Penner is able to avoid... I mean, he had immunity, but he's able to save his group from potentially going home on the rock draw.
Yeah. No, he makes it a couple more rounds past this. So, you know, that's good for Penner.
But he's also able to, you know, keep his allies in the game, potentially. Like, there could have been somebody that... the people he wanted to work with could have gone out on the rock draw, so... This ultimately ends up working to Penner's favor. But Jeff Probst was not happy with the outcome of this vote. And he's going to chastise the survivors after this vote. This is what he says, Josh.
That vote may go down as one of the biggest blown opportunities in the history of this game.
One of the biggest blown opportunities in the history of the game.
Don't editorialize on this one, Jeff. Just let the thing speak for itself. It's our job.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Biggest blown opportunities? I don't know. Like, they would have been a rock draw. I don't know.
Okay. So, Josh, this is actually really fun that we have this, because that Sam Moore was able to track this down. I was able to interview Jeff Probst. Once upon a time, Jeff Probst was happy to come on Rob as a podcast in the year 2012.
Yeah, you should have cashed in a second Probst interview sooner.
Yeah, and in that conversation...
The second one was awkward. The second one was awkward.
In that conversation, I got to talk about this particular vote, which had happened, I guess, probably in the week leading up to this interview. And I asked Jeff Probst about this exact comment in the episode of this being the biggest blown opportunity in the history of the show. And I have for you that clip from 2012 of what he had to say. Let's go back and listen. This is from November 2012 on Robin's podcast.
The comment you made at the end of the episode where you said, now this is one of the biggest blown opportunities, and I'm paraphrasing exactly right. What that was. Now, when you make those comments at the end of the tribal council, is that more for the players or is that for the people at home to sort of, you know, put a cap on what just happened? Or are you trying to get a message across to the people playing the game?
No, I'm always telling the story for the audience. Always. And every question I ask is for the audience. I feel them in my head going, ask this, ask that. Why is Abby still sitting out? Hammer her. Why is she sitting out? How do you get away with this? I'm not going to change the game by asking why Abby continues to sit out of a challenge. They set her out. They know what they're doing. It's one of the... You can criticize a lot of things about me, but one of the criticisms I never get is when people say, but you're bringing up things. You, as a player, know they're already considering all of these things. They're well aware of how the game works and how important numbers are. So for me, at that tribal, what I saw was a chance for one group to take the other group out. And when the number of votes didn't line up, it was easy to go, somebody blew it. Either somebody just made a big move and they're going rogue and they're going out on their own, or somebody just blew it because you had a chance for a shot at the numbers. And at that point in the game, if you can get a group of people that's in the majority and you don't screw it up, you move four or five steps further down the game than you would otherwise.
Okay, there you go.
Rob, that would have been a really good setup for the wand off, by the way. Like, there was a lot of like really epic setup for the sound clip.
Yeah.
And then like if you'd played the wand off theme instead, I think a lot of people would have been really surprised.
In hindsight, that would have been a better way to go.
In retrospect. Yeah. All right. So there's Jeff on the record.
But I think that maybe Jeff at this point in time in 2012, that I don't know if he's necessarily seeing where the game is headed with smaller numbers of groups ultimately like coming together for votes at this point in time, as opposed to like there was no six that was going to, you know, wipe out the other side.
No. Yeah.
That wasn't quite what was going to happen. Although, to be in fairness, that there is going to be a six, which is going to come together, which Penner gets invited to, which he says ultimately, well, let's see how it goes, which ultimately is kind of do him in this
game. Yeah. Yeah.
So there is ultimately going to be a six.
I'm surprised that he's as hot as he is, considering that it's Jeff Kent who goes home here. And I would think Jeff Probst would be psyched to have one less Jeff on the battle.
I guess so. I think that they were probably not thrilled to lose a person that was probably that they looked at as like one of the stars. That's
a go-to guy. Jeff Kent.
Go-to guy.
Yeah.
All right. And then...
Iconic, Jeff right? Kent. I mean, this is the most iconic, among the more iconic final words ever delivered, right?
Jeff Kent is going to have a memorable exit because this week, in addition to me having an interview with Jeff Probst, also of note that this week was also the week of the November 2012 presidential election between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Do you remember that, Josh?
I actually don't know that I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's going to make me cry on a podcast.
Yeah. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
It's and a great week.
At that point, Jeff Kent had some notable final words after being voted out.
Yeah.
You know what pisses me off? Because I think I've made about $60 million playing baseball, and I want this freaking $1 million in this game. And it's not even $1 million. It's 600 grand by the time Obama takes it. I'm a Game 7 World Series loser. You know, I played in the biggest games in the world and the worst games in the world, but this just sucks.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent cannot remember a loss more devastating than the one he has just sustained.
Mm-hmm.
The quote about Obama is so iconic. It's the 600,000 that Obama's done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, amazing.
His taxes, really, top of mind after being voted out of the game.
Yeah. There's some joke here about whenever Survivor 41 finally happens and someone goes home in an earlier spot than they thought. Well, if Survivor 41 had filmed back in April 2020, like it should have been, I'd be the winner. So thanks, Trump, for bungling the quarantine. Like that would be the version that we'll get in 41. Looking forward to that. Yeah. I think that'll be great.
Yeah. That seems I could see it now.
Unlikely. Yeah. I don't think that they would include that. Too dicey.
Yeah.
Too dicey.
All right. Yeah. Josh, are you ready to head towards our weekly song parody contest? Anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, it was just fun. It was fun to spend some time in the Philippines. It's a great season. Really great,
great
season. Great group of players for the most part.
Yeah.
Exceptions, but... You know,
yeah, a couple of
significant exception.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jonathan Penner, just electric. Lisa is just a great TV character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Some
fun
real great stink eye from artists towards Mike Scoopin also.
He hates Mike Scoopin viciously. Artist was early to that party. He was not a too late Larry on the Mike Scoopin hate train.
Yes, hashtag
he was
artist was
very
right.
Punctual. Very
yes.
Punctual.
Yes.
Yeah. Right on time. Ahead of his
you
time.
Knew. Artist
I
knew.
Love artist. Artist is great.
Yeah, he was good. All right.
Underrated character.
Josh, before we get to this week in the Wand Off, let me go ahead and thank our sponsor for this episode. This show is supported by BetterHelp Online Counseling. We're in extraordinary times, and if you're struggling with stress, anxiety, or depression, you are not alone. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and help. BetterHelp counselors specialize in many areas, including relationship conflict, anxiety, depression, loss, trauma, and more. Securely connect with your counselor in a safe and private online environment. Everything you share is confidential. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs and get matched with a counselor in under 48 hours. Easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. You can get professional help when you want, wherever you are, and BetterHelp is an affordable option. Jeff Kent would be very happy. He's always thinking about finances. Our listeners will get 10% off your first month with a discount code RHAP. Join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help.
Cool. Yeah. No, I'm obviously a big advocate of that. So I love that that support is still here.
Yeah.
Very important in these times.
All right. Here we go. Wand off time.
Stop. Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now before you go any further. It's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
Whoa!
It's the Wand Off. Yes. Love it.
Whoa! Yeah, I'm very interested to find out what happened after all of the jam-packed Hamiltons. our rockin'
that was great last week.
Last week was a really fun wind-off.
Yeah,
Hamiltons and non-Hamiltons alike.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's go back and take a look at what happened the last week with 17.6% of the vote. It was the great Davis, Will with Chaos Cass.
Yes.
Got to play Patron Mafia with Davis, Will last
night. How'd that
go? Great.
Great.
Got a cool green screen set up also.
Okay. Oh, sweet.
There's a lot of, cool stuff with Zoom backgrounds. Okay.
I don't really know how to do any of that.
It's very fancy. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Next up, in second place, it was Patrick from Nashville with 25.6% of the vote for the merge vote of Cagayan.
Yes.
And then this week, it was a bit of a runaway here. And it should be no surprise because that I don't want to go Kanye, but this was one of the best wand-offs of all time. Last week. It was Michael from Rochester with 44% of the vote.
Ooh.
With a song all about Mr. Tony Vlachos.
How does a 40-year-old bald guy, son of the orange buff brawn tribe, a man that you simply can't describe in a single sentence, show the brain, brawn, and beauty of a tiger, become the G.O.A.T. of Survivor, a true...
It is 4 minutes long. We'll play it at the end of the show. I highly recommend that you check it out again.
Legendary, legendary.
Michael from Rochester for that one.
A hat and a time traveling slap bracelet. Congratulations. Great stuff.
Great stuff there. All right. So let's bring in the host of the Wand Off, the late great Casey Kasem. Robin, Josh, it's a pleasure to be back here with you again today to talk about another week of the Wand Off.
Hi, Casey. Great to have you here. As somebody who has spoken to many ghosts in your capacity as one, do you have any sense of whether people prefer Rancor Death to Sarlacc Pit? Do you have any sense whatsoever as to the experiences of the ghosts who've succumbed to those two different types of demise?
Josh, this is a painful experience to talk to me about because earlier in my career, I did a lot of voiceover work. I did voiceover on over 7,000 cartoon series, but the role of a lifetime was I was asked to voice the lovely and popular relatable robot C-3PO.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that job. I've gotten millions and millions of dollars, but it would have been even more money if it wasn't for Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, but you would it would only be 600 credits by the time Carter was done with it. So,
Josh, are you ready to hear some honorable mentions all about this week?
Yes, I am. Very much so, I am.
Okay, here we go. Honorable mentions coming up. Do you recall the actress Lisa Welchel?
I've heard of her, yes. Know her work just a touch.
She was a star of the silver screen. Is that TV or that's movies?
I think the silver screen is movies.
Movies.
It's a small screen.
She was a star of the small screen on a little show called The Facts of Life. And here to talk about what's going on in her world, here is who? Here's a Horton.
You eat the rice, you eat the beans, you're living in the Philippines. Survive a life, survive a life. You deal with Pete and with Abby, your allies are kind of crabby. That's a life, survive a life. You're an 80s TV star, but out here you'd like to hide who you are. Trying to make the final three, could the sole survivor be you? You.
That was from Mrs. Garrett Adelstein.
Very good. Quite nice.
Josh, did you like that one?
I did.
Okay. Then you're in for a treat here from James from Canada.
We're eating fish, we're eating clams, and fall asleep all in the sand with gnats and flies. Gnats and flies. The show will throw you to and fro. We're playing for this dough, you know, on beans and rice. That's supplied. It's much harder than it seems to exist on the coast of the Philippines. And suddenly you're waking up, your bowels all are backing up.
Ooh.
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 Oh no, I can't poo. And now I ain't walking right. I guess I'll eat some more beans and rice.
Tough.
That wasn't even talked about in this episode.
I don't know that that's the topic. But I mean, I appreciate it. I don't know that it's necessarily wrong. Austin Carty, certainly a prolific Wandoff listener, is feeling seen right now. There was some beans action. There were some beans in this. I don't know if they were farting beans or not.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like people had like bean-stained teeth in this episode.
Bean-stained teeth?
Yeah, like they were eating black beans, and then they all had like sort of like inky teeth. Like the way that in The Patriot, when Heath Ledger and the, I forget the actress who's the his love interest in that, when they aren't supposed to be kissing in the night, but they do, and they both they'd been drinking the ink tea, so they both have ink mouth. There was a little bit of that. If you see The Patriot, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Didn't watch that one?
No. Did not interest me.
I don't know if I could give it a full-throated endorsement these days, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dan Sinensky has a theory about somebody who looks familiar. Here's Dan Sinensky.
Back in time, Gavin acts so bitter. He got beaten, but he ain't no quitter. Jeff Ken is Gavin later in life. Back in time, Mal time traveled as Jimmy T. And Spencer Warp changed into Marty. Jeff Kent is Gavin later in life.
All right!
That was from Bon Jovitas.
Yeah.
You buying that one? Gavin is going to be future Jeff Kent.
I mean, they got like similar hair. Yeah, it's similar hair.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Gavin would grow up to become Jeff Kent to get on to Survivor with like an axe to grind against returning players, mucking up his pure experience, considering what he went through on the
Interesting.
Edge.
Interesting. It's formative.
You know? Yeah, so I could buy that. I could buy that for sure. That's great.
Same mustache. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so thank you for that.
I can see it.
Dan.
I can see that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Josh, then a couple of people were very inspired by Abby Maria. Here's...
How could you not be?
Waylon Wolverine.
I got all the lyrics, but I get the gist of the idea, and I love the idea.
Did you need the song sheet?
I could use the song sheet, but I did catch one lyric for sure, which was Abby Maria. And I think if Abby Maria ever does a talk show, that this should be the theme song.
That should be the theme song?
Yeah.
Should be the theme song?
Or
how about this? Toby and Angie.
This is the outro.
Beautiful.
It's really just very lovely.
Very beautiful.
This is a beautiful song. Very yes. beautiful.
Yes. Okay.
I think, yeah, that's intro, outro.
Intro, outro.
You've got the talk show's music is covered.
Yes. Okay. Abby, what do you think of that idea?
I think this is really ludicrous.
Oh.
Yeah, like good ludicrous, right? a ludicrous mashup would also be dope.
Yeah. Should Abby Maria host the talk show?
I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Don't
Josh,
make fun of her. That's
are you
cool.
ready to hear the top three songs in Wombat's Nation?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. We are going to kick things off with the dynamic duo. It's Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson here to talk about what's going on in episode 8 of Survivor Philippines.
Final 10 starts with Penner in a mess. He's the target of the evil three. Lisa's plotting as if he's already gone. It's sicker than his old infected knee. I know those ribs might not compare to delicious lamb shanks, but
they
it
don't.
Gave us a break from the Brazilian dragon, so thanks. Abby's not liked, Pete is not liked, Artis is hardly shown, but Penner, hey Penner, just try to win immunity, Tay, Tay.
Wow, this was a huge win for Penner, and what a celebration. I mean, he kissed the snake, does an airplane thing, and throws his hat. Well, I hope he doesn't throw anything else.
Lisa out in Malcolm's idol, turning up the heat with the peach chat. Malcolm's hoping to not get burned. Scoopin' knows a bit about that. Now both Jeffs called this tribal super zany and insanely fun. Malcolm and Abby flashing idols reminded me of the merge of Amazon. Abby's not liked, Pete is not liked, Artis is hardly shown, but Penner, hey Penner, just don't throw your vote away, away, away.
Wow, I've collaborated with everybody so much, I've actually made 99 wand offs, and Paparazzi wasn't even one.
Oh, that feels like a warning.
That was from the band. That's Pretty Cheap Trick.
That's Pretty Cheapo Depot Trick. The restraint to not really go deep on the self-referential relationship with Jonathan Penner.
Said we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I am surprised by that. Not surprised that, like, in the break between verses, you know, Aaron's just got to kind of narrate how the song's going. That's a hallmark of one of these wand-offs. I'd never get rid of it. As long as there's a wand-off, there must be an Aaron and Nick and or Kalish. Spectacular.
Josh, the number two song in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Stan Sy with Doms and Tiano to talk about a very important number to one, Mr. Jeff Kent.
You know what pisses me off?
because I think I've made about $60 million playing baseball. And I want this freaking $1 million in this game. And it's not even $1 million. It's $600,000 by the time Obama takes it. I'm a Game 7 World Series loser. You know, I played in the biggest games in the world and the worst games in the world. But this just sucks.
$86,250,000. That's how much money Jeff can't make playing baseball. But he's salty about $600,000 that would have been left after Obama takes it all. But Lisa and Scoopin and Abby and Pete and Artis just suddenly changed the way they voted. That's how they took away Jeff Kent's $600,000 the day after Obama got re-elected. Talk about hey, on a day, and Jeff Kent's hey, measured in cash.
That was low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit. Let's see if you pluck it.
That was from the hit Broadway show, Jeff Rent.
Yeah, there it is. It's right there. It's right there. It's easy. Pop-a-fly. Got it.
And Josh, the number three song in Wombat's Nation comes to us from a Wandoff newcomer, but no stranger to the podcast. It's Matt Price, a.k.a. Rob Has a Pollster,
all
with
right.
a song about this week's voted off contestant.
Well, I'm Jeff Kent, and you know I'm gonna be, I'll be a secret baseball player next to you. And if you ask me, if you ask me what I do, I sell motorbikes and sometimes ride them too. And at Tribal, well, you know I'm gonna be Plan B or Plan C next to you. And when I vote out, well, I'm gonna vote out Pete. Oh, now it's me. Oh, well, then what you gonna do? Well, I would get $600,000 if I win this game. But Obama takes $400,000. Isn't that a shame? Thanks, Obama. 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 Thank you, Wanda. La da da.
High quality.
That was from the Hold Up Proclaimers.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great debut.
Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah. Maybe thought Jeff Kent could have maybe hit on Obama's tan suit also in his final words.
Just stop it. I'm not. I'm not going to hear that.
That might have happened after.
I'm not going to hear that. We never talked. I mean, whatever.
He wore a tan suit.
Tan dang suit.
Tan dang suit. Yeah. All right. Josh.
An unironic thanks, Obama, from Josh Wigler.
And we really want to thank Kurt Clark, who is the tabulator, who goes through the votes every single week and plucks out the rogue votes from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Yeah.
That if we ever get out of this mess, we owe that guy a trip to Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Give him a...
But we may have to go to Canada.
An origin story. Yeah, for sure.
And, of course, thanks again to Top 5 Human, Randy Newpole.
Randy!
And Josh, for me, I'll be heading on out and be back with you next week. Until then, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table.
Out of the Sarlacc pit.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
See you, Casey.
Yes. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Casey Kasem. Okay. All right. J- Josh, should we talk about what's coming up next week?
Yeah, you know what I'm excited about is with all this Star Wars talk, and next week we're going to talk about a couple people that looked like they could have been part of the prequels, some potential Padawans in the Anakin Skywalker of Survivor Micronesia, Jason Siska. We're talking Survivor Micronesia next week. We're going to talk about that effing stick.
Yes.
We're
going
to talk about episode 9 of Survivor Micronesia, the effing stick. I'm in such a hot pickle is the name of that episode. This is the merge episode of Micronesia. I know we've already done a merge episode here, but there's no reason we can't do another merge. And we're up to an episode 9, and I'm in such a hot pickle. Named It's an Effing Stick episode. Is on the horizon. We're
Would you
do
eat
that.
A hot pickle?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right.
Context depending, but yeah, of course.
Okay. Yes. All right. Good. Sounds good. Maybe
I got to rest my voice. I shouldn't talk for a week because I have to get my Prince Siska ready.
Yeah. All right. Maybe a hot pickle should be on the menu that Akiva and I are working on an idea for a pitch called Sour Ones, which is going to rival Hot Ones, Josh.
That's not a bad idea. I think maybe
that's
you want
to be one
like,
of the things.
You call it Sour Twos.
Sour Twos. Oh, it's even better.
Sour Smart. Twos.
Smart. Okay. All right. Josh, what else do you have going on these days?
Oh, Mole Patrol. Season 1, Episode 4 of The Mole, getting together with Brooklyn Zed and Jess Leese. Tomorrow to talk about that. I haven't watched the episode yet, so do not at me with spoilers about The Mole generally, but certainly not episode 4. I am going to be watching that a couple hours before we record. I'm loving The Mole Patrol. The Mole Patrol is super, super fun. So that'll be up on Reality TV Rehap-Ups this week. The aforementioned Avengers at Civil War in the Everything is Super podcast feed. The Pizza Podcast, we're talking Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. The Samin Knows Rot Show on Beyond Top Chef on Reality TV Rehap-Ups for this week.
What was that last one?
Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. Is that a show?
They're like different tastes. It's a great show. Tremendous show.
That's a show that you made up. Or somebody else has a show called Salt.
No, it's a real show. It's like it's documentary style. It's Samin Knows Rot, great chef who goes around the world identifying.
This is a TV show?
It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's a 4-part Netflix show. It's really amazing. I'm not going to make any jokes about it because it's a legitimately terrific show. Really, really great. And I'm really looking forward to talking about that. So that's happening. And then it's the season 3 premiere of Lost on Down the Hatch this week with Mike Bloom. Listen, don't you dare come after Samin Knows Rot. Check yourself before you do that.
Okay.
Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, just let it lie. It's a great show. Really great show.
I'll be letting it lie.
Yeah. I would still take the lamb shanks, but there's potentially a lot of... There's certainly salt, there's fat. I don't know where the acid... The acid's coming from the apple cider, actually, probably. And then the heat, if the apple cider was warmed up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Josh, also, this weekend, I have a new favorite NBA team that we have a bracket. We had pitches from fans of all the different NBA teams to try to recruit me to come to their side. That podcast is up. The latest.
Is that happening? Basketball is happening? I'm out of the loop.
Yeah. July 30th, I think, is when it's going to tip off. They're in a bubble.
Where?
Disney World.
Huh.
See, I think the idea of the bubble was good, but I think that the idea of having a bunch of vacationers come to Disney World is not good.
It's tough.
That wasn't that, you know, I feel like that they should have probably build a moat around the bubble if they can.
Cool to play basketball in a moat, like surrounded by a moat would be dope.
Yeah, that would be more exciting.
It'd be tough if like you overshoot and then the ball goes in the moat.
Yeah. They'd have to put a fence around the moat.
I'll tell you about basketball, just a little spoiler for Avengers at Civil War, the Survivor simulation we ran on Everything is Super, is it turns out that Josh Boyd, they're pretty good at basketball.
Oh, okay. Good to hear.
Only in the context of a Survivor simulation.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But you heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Also, I talked about a new show this past weekend. There's a show called The Sims Sparked.
Did yeah, you see this? I saw that you did this. Yes. I don't know anything about it. I suspect this is a show about The Sims.
Yes, it's people who play The Sims. So it looks like it's a 4-episode series. We're just going to cover the first episode. I talked about that with Kirsten McInnes and newcomer Serena Foster.
Awesome! Oh, Serena! Yeah. Amazing. That's
a
my
nice chat over.
Oh, Kirsten as well. Of course, I love Kirsten. But Serena, that's really exciting.
Yeah. A nice chat over the weekend about that. And then T-Bird is going to be firing up the podcast machine later on this week.
What's T-Bird about to do for you?
We're going to talk to somebody. I like to keep it a surprise.
I know, but do you not like to even hint at it a little bit? All right, don't do it. I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'll say that this person appeared in a episode that we have already covered this season.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. News AF and more.
Cool.
Up this
well,
week.
Let's hurry plus, offline so that you can tell me offline. I would love to get
yeah,
the spoilers.
Plus, Phil Kogan joined our Tough as Nails recap this past week. If you
awesome.
Tough as Nails aired again on CBS, they've been trying to really do right by Tough as Nails, airing episodes on Sunday night as well. So Phil was very happy with our coverage of the podcast. So that's been really fun as well. If you're not watching Tough as Nails, really fun show.
I got to check it out. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but I would genuinely really like to. Yeah.
All right. So here's what's going to happen. We've got a very special extended Wandoff that you're going to hear all about Tony Vlachos from last week. So congratulations again to the great
also,
Michael from Rochester.
We're recording a little earlier than usual next week if we want to let people know. Maybe get those Wandoffs in for the effing stick by Sunday morning would be the cutoff.
Good note, okay?
Until Sunday morning is the cutoff because we have to record on Sunday instead of Monday, the Wiggle Room, next week. So, shorter turnaround than usual, but this is about a Survivor season episode that aired so many years ago.
Yeah, you got a lot of time on this one.
You got time on this one. Yeah.
You got time on this one. So be sure to look
Sunday
out for
morning,
that.
Sunday morning. WiggleRoom@robinswebsite.com.
So you've got the Wandoff, and then we're going to hear a few words from Dave Mason from BetOnline about the return of sports. I'm warning you now, so don't email me or tweet to me and say, why is there talking at the end of this podcast?
Are you talking specifically to me?
No, I'm saying to anybody who's going to say, like, hey, was this a mistake? No, I'm telling you that it's going to happen after the Wandoff that's coming up. Okay.
All right. Sounds great.
Thank you so much. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
How does a 40-year-old bald guy, son of the Orange Buff Brawn Tribe, a man that you simply can't describe in a single sentence, show the brain, brawn, and beauty of a tiger, become the G-O-A-T of Survivor, a true father, doing all for his baby daughter, got a lot farther by playing a lot harder and being a lot smarter by choosing to take charge in on day 4? He had already found a hidden idol, and every day while they were in the shelter to hide from the rain, he ran away to build himself a spy shack. He knew he was ready to betray any other. This cop would falsely swear on his badge, kid, and mother. Then another cop came who knew they were the same. Sarah could see the blue blood dripping from his frame. They decided to team up, and so now they became Cops Are Us, which would go down in Survivor fame. Well, the word got around, they said this is an insane man. Betrayed his old Apari tribe to create a new band. LJ, Jeff, Trish, and Wu, a new group, so they claim. And this man's gonna win this game? What's his name, man? Tony Vlachos. His name is Tony Vlachos. And he's out to win the million. So just you wait, just you wait. Day 13, the tribes had split. He had felt no struggle. 2 votes later, see Tony and his tribe in trouble. 1 down, begging his cop friend to save him. But Sarah unexpectedly betrayed him. Brought in chaos, cast thus a 6 was now unified. And the news of a special idol had arrived, a voice saying, Tony, you gotta find it yourself. He started looking and digging at the cost of his own health. You might be thinking that he was done with stirring up trouble, but Tony knew he could do more than just with his muscles. Started planning to take out all the threats in his alliance, voting out anyone who would show a defiance. Digging for every dial he gets his hands on. Sitting in his eyes, I see him there as he takes on the rest of the cast. Anyone who is a threat, the greatest survivor player. With him. Spencer learned from him. Sarah trusted him. Trish, she loved him. And Woo, he's the damn fool that saved him.
So he's out to win a million. So just you wait.
What's his name, man? Tony Vlachos.
All right, you've already heard the news, but let me be the one telling you the news. Let's pretend that I'm the one giving it to you for the first time. Sports are coming back, and there's nothing you can do about it at this point. So your chance to bet on sports now with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. And joining me now is Dave Mason, who's going to be sharing some of the updates of what's coming next to Bet Online. What's happening there, Dave?
Lots, finally.
It's been an
interesting
goodness.
Few months. You know, I was promoting ping pong and marble races and all that sort of stuff, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but now we're back to some sports I'm somewhat familiar with, so I'm pretty happy, but getting really busy too.
I hear you, man. I mean, it's the summer's been consumed. Who knew so many people would love golf? But of course, when you can lay down a little bit of loot on it, it makes everything a little more fun. And now, just out on the horizon, if you don't even have to squint too hard because they're right there for you. MLB, NBA, and the puck is going to drop. I think, in particular for me, the hockey fan, I can't wait for early August to get here with 10 straight days of never fewer than 4 or 5 games, right? So, yeah, and you guys are ready to take action on all those.
Yep, and we have the odds ready to rock. MLB comes first. We have our odds. We have great timelines in those. All the futures are up, World Series, everything. We're ready to go. Of course, you had to tweak some rules here and there with a 60-game season. You know, we had no action, all the season win totals, and put up new season win totals. And then there's been a little bit of a cat-and-mouse game, very hectic, going to slow times, even though it was slow and they're running sports. We're adjusting on the fly on stuff like that. Then the following week, the NBA starts with that 8-game regular season. We have season win. And once again, we had a no action, all the season win totals because they didn't play the complete season. But we opened the 8-game season win totals for the many season coming up and all the playoff odds, et cetera. Then, yep, reduced juice NHL is back after that. So, and then we get into the NFL discussion, right?
Now we're really talking.
It's gonna be crazy. You know, I think back like every November, there's that 1 or 2 days when all four sports are in session together, and what is it, the sports equinox. Now we're gonna have a 2-month-long sports equinox, and it's gonna be insane. So the guys are rested up and they're ready to rock. So I can't wait.
Move over, March Madness. Here comes August Augustness. I don't know. Work on that. You can.
We got
to let's workshop that a little bit. Sure. But man, August figures to be just divine, and like you say, pro football on the other side of summertime kicking off, and it really looks like everything's tracking in the right direction there for us to get our most beloved of all sports. It must be tough to Divine, I mean, tougher, obviously. We got a good look at which teams were relevant in terms of chasing the title in the NBA. Same goes for the NHL and the lag and how that might impact the players. Notwithstanding, I assume that that setting the lines, the futures for Major League Baseball here has been especially tough with a 60-game slate coming up, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, we're in kind of uncharted grounds of territory, and you know, you're not just paying attention to injury news now, you're paying attention to the COVID news too. You know, Zion Williamson leaves the camp now. Who knows what's going on there? I hope everything's all right, but I'm just talking from the business standpoint. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to come back. Who knows how long he's going to be gone? When he comes back, he's going to have to quarantine. Is he going to miss games because of that? And is that going to affect, you know, with that news came out, we started getting hit by some bets on the other side. So it's just, you know, crazy, all these situations that are just so unique to all of us in the business. You know, I mentioned all the no actioning and season win totals and then putting up amended season win totals for an 8-game season, for God's sakes. So it's going to be an interesting few months, but we're just so happy the games are back. We know there's going to be some unique situations where, you know, we're going to get hit and, you know, the injury reports are going to be different than they used to be. Right.
Yeah.
We'll adapt. Bettors will adapt. And as long as the games are on TV tonight, that's all we care about.
We'll it's not being cavalier. Obviously, everybody's aware of how bizarre the 2020 year has been on so many fronts. And I wonder, though, if there's smart angle of looking at guys in Major League Baseball specifically who have a knack of coming, you know, guys who light it up in early season perennially, guys whose bats are hot in you know, April and May, and then they tend to cool off in the second half. If a team has a preponderance of those guys who fit that description, if they're suddenly become a nice little sleeper play for you there, those are the kind of ununique things that you can look for here in 2020.
Absolutely, especially, you know, and stuff like props too, you know, season leader for home runs, stuff like that. Well, you're throwing out a guy who starts slow and has a great summer. Well, that great summer, that's the start of the season now, guys. You know, we all have those guys who don't hit well during the cold months, and then when the summer heat, man, they're lightning in a bottle. So you're gonna have to adjust odds accordingly. Okay, that player's gonna be meat and potatoes for two and a half months, and
right, and
go from there. So absolutely, there's all sorts of angles, and our guys are trying to keep up with it. We have some very sharp bettors here at BetOnline, and they're all over it too.
Well, believe me, I'm looking at the NFL futures as we speak, and given more time, I would go over all 32 with you, give you my bets on all of those. But let's save that for another day. You know, we don't have to cover it all right now, Dave. Let's kick it down the road before things kick off and review all of those, and maybe we can offer up some Dave Damashek's best bets, and then the listener, the savvy listener, will promptly go against all of those and win a lot of money with BetOnline AG. But in the meantime, thanks for the time, Dave.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Much obliged again to Dave Mason. Be sure you visit betonline.ag, and don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your sign up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.